Now, in our last broadcast, we were speaking to you a little about the miracle of a changed life, showing how that in the first 20 verses of the Gospel according to Mark chapter 5, we have the record of a man for whom everything had been done that was possible, but it was unsuccessful. Men couldn't do for him what was required. Only when he came in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ was his life completely changed. We called it the miracle of a changed life. But now, that had to do with a man. And it showed to us that the Lord Jesus Christ was able to meet the needs of men, even the worst of men. Now, I want to emphasize this again today to all my listeners. I don't care who the man is, or the kind of life he's been living, or the problems that he faces. The Lord Jesus Christ is both able and willing to meet the needs of that individual. But then, as we move down through this chapter, we discover now that we're introduced to a woman who also was in a state of desperate need. It would appear from the reading of the verses that others had been doing their best for this woman, but to no avail. Later on in the chapter, we shall read concerning a young girl. Now, if you place these three things together, you'll notice then in each occasion the Lord Jesus Christ was able to meet the needs of these three when men had given them up. First of all, there was a man. He was under the dominating power of the devil. We come now today to a woman who was being dragged down and burdened with disease. When you come to consider the young girl, she already was in the clutches of death. In each case, man had done his best, but man's best wasn't good enough. Here was a man who was under the grip of the devil himself, and only the power of Christ could liberate him. Now, here is a woman in our story today, and she is under the power of disease. And after all, men are doing the best for her. Let us think of her, first of all, and the condition she endured. For 12 years, this woman suffered. Can you imagine someone being dragged down with a disease for 12 solid years? Now, when you think of this woman who had been suffering this and she had done her best, I think of people today, and perhaps they're living in conditions where it calls for a lot of endurance. Is it possible that some of my listeners today have been suffering? But let me remind you, my friend, there are different kinds of suffering. Some people have physical sufferings. That sometimes is hard to endure, physical sufferings. On the other hand, there are some people who have mental sufferings. They cannot sleep at night. Their hearts are burdened. Their minds are confused. And they're suffering. You know, it was said concerning the Lord Jesus Christ that when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, that being in an agony of soul, he sweat great drops of blood falling down to the ground. You see, there's such a thing as soul suffering, the wounded soul. Some people have physical sufferings. Some have mental sufferings. They worry. They worry about themselves. Some people worry about their families. Some people have soul sufferings, and sometimes they keep those sufferings to themselves. They never tell folks about it. But let me go a little further. There's another way in which people suffer. That is, they're convicted about their sins. They worry about the past. And they worry about the future. And because they have the burden of the sins of the past, and they have the worry of wondering what comes after this life, they're afraid to die because of the judgment that follows, and it worries them. Now the word that old preachers used to use in days gone by was the word conviction. And you know, when people are convicted about their sins, it makes them worry. That's what conviction is. I have known people who are afraid to sleep at night in case they would die in the sleep and be lost. My friend, let me ask you. Here was a woman who suffered for 12 years. Is it possible I'm speaking to someone today and you, like this woman, you're suffering? Is it physical sufferings you have? Or is it sufferings of the heart, soul sufferings? Mental grief because of others, or are you suffering today because you've never yet trusted the Savior and you're worried about the kind of life you've lived? You're worried in case you're not right and not ready to meet God. Now I want you to notice this about this woman. The concern that she expressed, it distinctly says that she suffered many things of many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. This woman didn't simply sit down and mourn about her suffering. She decided she must do something about it. She was concerned. She expressed her concern in that she ran around and tried every doctor she could find, in the hope perhaps that one of them might have a cure for her disease. You know, there's an awful lot of people today running around trying all kinds of physicians. Now, I'm not speaking now of these doctors who test you and try you and prescribe some medicine to help you. I'm not thinking of that kind of doctor today. I'm thinking of some other kind of doctors. When people are upset, when people are passing through a time of testing and a time of trial because they know they're not right with God, it may be they're in a nervous state, ready for a breakdown. And they go to all kinds of people for help. And you know, we have all kinds of doctors today prescribing all kinds of help. But I'm sorry to say, there's only one cure for people like this. Notice, she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. You know, one has said that there's the doctor you call Dr. Reformation, and he tells you what you've got to do is reform. But the sad feature about it is you haven't got the power to reform. What's the good of telling the drunkard that he's to be a sober man and he'll get rid of all his troubles? The poor fellow hasn't got the power. He's got him in its grip. It's no use trying to tell the drug addict that he'll have to give up his drugs. You see, he's got hooked on them. And so Dr. Reformation doesn't help any. You can pay him as much as you like. You're just wasting your money. And then there's Dr. Recreation. He says your trouble is you're brooding too much on your condition. You better get out and have some recreation. And so you go out and you spend a lot of time and a lot of money on some kind of recreation. But while it may help you physically, it's not going to help you spiritually. It's not going to bring you into a better relationship with, and you may spend a lot on that doctor, and it's no good. And then some will come along and say, the trouble with you is that you've got away from your religious beliefs. So Dr. Religion says to you, join the church of your choice. get linked up with some church and you'll be all right. And perhaps I'm speaking to someone today who has tried that cure and it hasn't worked. You're no better off today than what you were before. And even trying to be religious hasn't brought peace to your heart. You see, my friend, you're like this poor woman. She spent her all on all the different physicians, and when she had spent her all, she was no better, but rather grew worse. Now, it's at that point where it seems to be that she heard about the Savior. Now, let me draw your attention to what I believe to be a very interesting little point about this incident, and it's this. The Lord Jesus Christ was actually on his way to the home of the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name. This man had come to him to beg him to come to his house to help his little daughter. So actually the Lord was on his way to help someone else when this woman broke in through the crowd. Now this woman had a certain conviction. See, she heard about Jesus. Now I like that. I wonder, my friend, in all your trouble and in all your trials, has anyone ever spoken to you about the Savior? Has anyone ever expressed to you that your greatest need in life is to know the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, it was said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, if your trouble, my friend, is your sin and your sins, if you're worried about the life you have lived, and you're worried about the life you're living, and you're worried about what lies before you, don't you see you need a Savior? And the Savior you need is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when she heard about Jesus, and you see, you need to hear about him. He's the Savior of God's providing. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. He's a living Savior. He can save to the very uttermost all who are coming unto God by him. And I'm glad that she heard about the Savior. Now, have you heard about him? Has anyone ever lovingly spoke to you about your need of the Savior and told you how to trust the Savior? Well, this woman came, she had this conviction. She heard about the Savior. Now remember, there's a biblical principle involved here, and that is, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now she heard. And when she heard, she believed what she heard. And she's saying, if only I could get contact with him, I only need to touch the hem of his garment, that's all. That's all she needed to know. She needed Christ. And so, because of her conviction, having heard about him, she had faith to believe that here was the one who could cure her, he could meet all her need, and she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Ah, she's saying, if only I could touch him, I shall be made well. And you know, she was cured. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. You see, the moment she had contact with the Savior, that moment the cure was effected. You know, my friend, salvation is an instantaneous thing so far as justification is concerned. That is, the moment we exercise faith in Christ, that moment we're saved. Listen to what the hymn writer said. And when my all I ventured on the atoning blood, the Holy Spirit entered and I was born of God. It's an instantaneous thing. So she touched and immediately she was made whole. And Jesus, knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched me? And of course the disciples said to him, well, see the whole multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? Now, here's a very interesting thing. There was a whole crowd of people there jostling around against the Savior, pushing from this side and that side to get near him. But you know, while they were jostling against him, there was one woman in the crowd who actually touched him with the touch of faith. When she came along with that crowd, she was just a nobody. Nobody would be interested in her. And she's nameless. We don't even know the woman's name. Just a nameless nobody. But she was in great need. And there in the midst of the crowd was the Savior who could meet her need. I've often pictured that woman pushing her way through the crowd. She wasn't interested in the crowd. She was interested in the Savior. It may have been that the crowd would have tried to have kept her back. But she was determined, and her determination took her through the crowd just to touch the Savior. My friend, is the crowd keeping you back from the Lord? Are you like this woman? Are you looked upon as just being a nobody? And you think that nobody wants you? Perhaps you've been despised by the crowd. Listen, my friend, the Savior knows all about you. He knew all about this woman. He said, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. He knew her. He knew she was coming. He knew her when she touched him. And immediately he knew that virtue had gone out, and he had healed the woman. Not simply because there was any virtue in his clothes, that's not the thing. She came by faith, and he recognized the faith, and immediately it was honored, and he healed her. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. She, who had been a nobody in the crowd, was now a somebody, cured by the Savior. Watch the comfort she received from him. He said to her, daughter, I wonder, must have been a long time since she heard someone use that word. She may not have been addressed like that since the days that she left her mother's home. Ah, but now, here's someone who is the tender touch, someone who can speak the tender word. He says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Daughter. Oh, what a relationship to be considered a daughter in the royal family. Your faith has made you well. Here she was. She was healed. You know, the Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Then again, go in peace. Listen to the word of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He says to this woman, go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Do you know, my friend, anything at all about the peace of God? Do you know anything at all about having peace with God? Or are you still laboring on with a troubled conscience, afraid of tomorrow, afraid of the future? Why don't you come just like this woman and touch the hem of his garment? Get to the Savior. I like the way, you know, that the old hymn writer depicted this when he wrote that old hymn. Perhaps you haven't heard it sung for a long time. The words are these. She only touched the hem of his garment, as to his side she stole, amid the crowd that gathered around him, and straightway she was whole. She came in fear and trembling before him. She knew her Lord had come. She felt that from him virtue had healed her. The mighty deed was done. He turned with, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole, and peace that passeth all understanding with gladness filled her soul. O, touch the hem of his garment, and thou too shalt be free. His saving power this very hour shall give new life to thee. Why don't you, my friend, just where you are? Perhaps you're like this woman, passing through a time of trial, wondering if there's any help for the likes of you. Yes, there is. The Savior is both able and willing to save you right now where you are, whether in the home or in hospital, or it may be you're behind prison bars, I don't know. Wherever you are, you feel like this woman, despised. Perhaps you feel you're a nobody. No, my friend, you can be a somebody. You can hear His word to you saying today, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace.